Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm really excited to welcome to the show Peggy McCall. Peggy is a New York Times bestselling author. She is internationally recognized expert in the field of self-help and my favorite topic, internet marketing. As an entrepreneur, business owner, mentor, and professional speaker, Peggy has been inspiring individuals to pursue their personal and business objectives, and she helps them well. I've been following her around for a long time. She provides effective internet marketing solutions for entrepreneurs, for authors, publishers, professionals, and business owners who want and need to establish an online presence, achieve bestseller status, build their brand, very, very important, and grow and or expand their business online. You can learn more about Peggy at her website, destinies.com. And if you're looking for her books and products, look under the store tab. So good morning, Peggy, and welcome to the show, and I'm so glad you're here.
Good morning, Denise. It's an absolute pleasure. I just love to share, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. This is just a great privilege.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. I've been following you around for a long time. I've read some of your books, and you know, I'm always watching what you're up to on Facebook and the people that you help on Facebook, which is a great leveler, isn't it? You know, we're all out there helping each other, and it's just wonderful to see what kind of response you get when you actually do help people.
So true.
Isn't it, though? So you have a great, great story. I know you're a Hay House published author, and you've been on the New York Times. I'd love for you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself. And I'm raspy. I apologize. You'll probably hear me choking at points. The conversation. So just ignore me and keep going. But I would love for you to tell, you know, everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do before I launch into the dozens of questions that I have for you.
Sure. I'd say my career has really evolved, and I'm a very flexible being. Sometimes I tell people my name is Peggy Flexible McCall, although my husband might not agree with that one. But So my career has really been in technology from a perspective of, you know, prior to getting into my own business, I was either doing teaching or marketing or sales, which I'm really grateful for because all of that part of my career has really helped me to build a successful business. But I had this desire, not necessarily to have my own business or run my own business. My desire came from wanting to help other people. And so I felt that one of the best ways that I could do that is through my own business and through my own seminars and speaking engagements and products as well. So in 1994, which was 16 years ago now, I incorporated my company. But what I did, Denise, is I worked in my business part-time until I could sort of build up some momentum of revenue, because I was a single mom when I incorporated my company. My son was a baby still. I mean, he was just a little toddler at the time. And so it wasn't the time to say, hey, you know, cut the ties of the corporate world and move into the business. So I started the business part-time, ended up going into my business full-time in the middle of the 90s, and then one of my clients hired me as a vice president of corporate development. And the reason why I took the job or that career at that time is because I really felt it was in alignment with who I was and what I was doing. So even though my business was going and I was doing really well, this company, which was a dot-com company, I came along and I said, you know what, we see where your strengths are. We want you as part of our executive team, and this is what, you know, what we're going to have you doing, making a difference in this business. So I did. It was an international organization, and it was very exciting, and I was there for a couple of years, and then it became a dot bomb. So completely, poof, gone, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, lots of people out there scrambling for, well, now what do I do? And I had decided at that point, so with, we're talking the year 2000, I decided I was going to write a book. And then I moved back into my business full time, but I wasn't generating revenue for about a year and a half until I had 3,000 copies of my first self-published book sitting in my dining room, and it accumulated a whole bunch of debt just trying to figure out how to, you know, get this book world going and market a book. And then I thought, you know what, my son's still young. Priority number one is, you know, being with my son as a mom. I'm going to find a way to do marketing effectively, and I'll do it online. And so I just started to study like a crazed woman, only in a very positive way, of course. And that's really what led me into, you know, getting into the internet marketing space, is that I had a desire, you know, two desires really. One was to be, you know, successful in business, of course, and provide for my family, which was me and my son at the time. And then, of course, two, to make a difference in the lives of others. And in order to do that, I needed to find out, you know, effective ways of marketing. And so I studied and then applied. More importantly, I applied. Studying doesn't do you anything unless you actually take it and put it into action.
Right, yeah, there have to be those action steps. I know that you were published with Hay House, which to me is just marvelous. Can you tell us how that happened?
Yeah, I'd love to.
What steps did you take to get to Hay House? Because, you know, a lot of us work with, I'm a virtual assistant and a web developer. I have a lot of authors that I work with.
Yeah.
And they're facing, honestly, exactly what you just described. You've got this wonderful book. You birthed it. It's your baby. And then you've got boxes of these things in the garage. And
right,
now
right.
So, I mean, you're the perfect person to talk to.
Oh, this
how
is
did
such,
you get to Hay House?
Such a great story. Hay House have actually published 4 of my books, and they've got 29 foreign rights language contracts, too. And my books are doing really well in many parts of the world, which has been quite exciting for me. But what had happened was I've known Louise Hay since the 80s, not known her personally, but had studied her work, you know, from You Can Heal Your Life, you know, right up into everything else that she ever delivered. And, of course, I've watched Hay House as a corporation evolve and expand. So they were, in my opinion, the best, and they still are, you know, in this genre of spirituality and self-help. And so for me, I felt that my book at the time, because I just had one initially, was a great match for them. But here's what's really important. If you want to get a publisher like Hay House to publish your books, you have to think like a publisher. If you're an author, you have to think like a publisher. So a publisher is looking for 2 things. Publisher is looking for, number one, a great book idea. Not a me-too book, you know, something that looks or smells or tastes just like another book that's out there, but something different. And it doesn't have to be drastically different. It could be the same type of messages, only maybe delivered in a unique way. That's really what they're looking for, something that stands on its own. You know, it's unique, and it would be appealing to others, of course. That's one thing, and that really has to be there. There's, like, no gray area about that. That needs to be there. And quite often what makes a book unique is usually the author, you know, their story, their journey, their techniques, right?
The personality coming through, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you can listen to somebody like Tony Robbins and then listen to Wayne Dyer, and often the message is the same.
True.
But you're hearing it differently because it's a different personality.
Yeah, same with Deepak Chopra, like, you know, he's very
exactly.
different. And, absolutely. And I think sometimes people are trying to be like someone else, and that, I think, is a problem. So just be yourself, you know, be natural, and, you know, if you're sensitive, say you're sensitive. If you're vulnerable or you've been vulnerable, say you're vulnerable, and just really be willing to, you know, open your kimono, you know, and expose yourself. I remember, I'll get back to the story, but I remember one time my agent saying to me, Peggy, you have to bleed from the page. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound very attractive. But what she was saying to me is you've got to tell your story. You've got to tell people what your pain was. Where did it hurt? So people can see you bleeding, and then they're going to relate to it. And I didn't want to because it hurt to go back and bleed again, right, to sort of open up those wounds that were there. But she said you've got to because that's what people are going to resonate with. And knowing that and having that sort of understanding of a publisher is looking for that unique book idea or the unique author. The other thing they're looking for is what's called a platform. They want to know that the author has already established a following, that people, and it's kind of a bizarre thing because sometimes people say, well, that sounds like you're putting the cart before the horse. Why don't you just build my following for me? It's not the not what they're looking for. Like I had a coffee with Ree Tracy, who's the president of Hay House, not that long ago, and of course I work with a lot of authors. And
you there? I think we just lost her. Well, we did. We just, something happened and we lost Peggy, but I'm sure she'll call back in just a minute. So in the meantime, when she does get back, we're going to be talking about a number of things. We'll be talking about internet marketing. Peggy also has a book called, it's her newest book, called Viral Explosions. And we're going to be talking about that. And I haven't read that one yet, but I suspect just from the title that it has very much to do with internet marketing. And I'll ask her that when she gets back on the line. And one of the questions that I want to ask her, in kind of in keeping with, you know, getting the cart before the horse here or the platform, is do you have to have a website to do well online? I know what I think about that. I don't know what Peggy thinks about that. And that should be a very interesting answer. And we're going to also talk about spamming. We see a lot of spamming. I mean, everybody knows what it is. It comes into your email box, you filter it, you get rid of it. But now we're seeing it on the internet. We're seeing it on Facebook. We're seeing it on Twitter. We're seeing it everywhere. And I have to tell you, it is incredibly annoying, and it doesn't make you any friends. So we're going to be talking, if Peggy can get back on the line, we'll be talking about that. Another question I want to talk with her about is, what are some of the challenges entrepreneurs are facing? You know, when, it looks like she's back in.
What happened there? The line just went dead.
It did, and I've been just chatting along and telling everybody what we're going to be talking about.
Good for you.
I got about a fourth of the way down the list, but I did mention we'll be talking about your newest book. But anyway, pick up where you left off, because I'm finding this Hay House and the platform, I'm finding this fascinating.
Excellent. Okay, great. What point did I lead off? Was it where I was talking about having the coffee with Ree Tracy?
Yes, that's where you got.
Okay.
We talked about the bleeding, and then you talked about the coffee. So.
Okay, great. So Ree said he's looking for an author with a platform, and this is really what all publishers are looking for. It's not a different answer that you'll hear from any other publishing house. So platform is where you've established a following, you know, where you're already doing talks, let's say. You may have a Facebook following, number of friends, you have a like page, you know, you've got folks that say, yes, I want to hear from, you know, Denise or Peggy or whatever, have a following on Twitter if you're on Twitter, and perhaps LinkedIn, maybe created some videos and they're posted on YouTube. You have a website where you have subscribers and a subscriber base. You're speaking at different conferences. You're doing, you know, a lot of different promotional things like audio or interviews, teleseminars, and that's what they're looking for. They want to know that you're someone who can communicate with the public and really communicate your message and help promote your book. So I had self-published three books. I self-published my first book on being the creator of your destiny. The 8 Proven Secrets of Smart Success was my second book, and then I self-published a book called On Being a Dog with a Bone, which Hay House ended up buying the rights for later on down the road. But I had three books that were out there, and I was marketing on the internet. I was effectively marketing on the internet, and I was selling the books from my own home. Why? Because I make more money that way. If I sell the book off my website, I get...
Too. Right. We need to cover that, you know, the difference between Amazon and what you make. But that's down the road. I just wanted to interject.
Okay.
Keep on going.
So when I came up with the idea for the book Your Destiny Switch, which was based on something I've been teaching in my seminars for a long time, you know, that we're emotional beings that, you know, our emotions go up and they go down, and it's like a switch on the wall, and I created a scale of human emotions so we can understand the nature and the power, and I had the whole concept, and I was teaching it. And so what I knew for sure is that I needed an agent first before I got a publisher. Getting an agent is almost as challenging, or can be just as challenging, as getting a publisher, because you've got to convince an agent that you have a great book idea that they should be able to sell to a publishing house. But what had happened for me is I was already having like great traction in the book marketing world, and a lot of authors were contacting me and getting me to either mentor them, teach them, or actually do the book marketing for them. I don't do the book marketing for other authors now. I used to. So I had people like Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, Debbie Ford, you know, folks, big names and not so big names in the industry hire me to help them. And so the word got out, especially when, you know, sales started coming in. So the vice president of HarperCollins had contacted me and he said, I want to have lunch with you. And he said, I'm going to be leaving HarperCollins. I'm going to be starting a literary agency and my partner and I want to meet with you. And they were in New York, and I said, okay, great. So flew into New York. I was going there anyways for, I think it was Book Expo America was on at that time. Flew into New York. I met Steve and his partner Kathy for lunch to discuss, you know, whatever it is they wanted to talk to me about. I didn't know why they wanted to meet with me. As it turned out, they wanted me to join their agency. They said, we're starting this literary agency. We want to offer your services to our clients sort of like as a collective service, a very unique approach in the literary agency world, and we want you to be a part of it. And I was very grateful for the opportunity, but I didn't want to do that. I'm a solopreneur, love working on my own. Mm-hmm. I said, look, you can refer me to your clients, but I'm not looking to join another organization. That's not my thing, and nor do I want to spend a lot of time in New York City. Like, I really, really enjoy, you know, the flexibility of working from my home and being in mm-hmm. Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And so I declined their offer, but I said, you know, we can find a way to work together. We'll just work together differently. But I said, listen, if you're going to be an agent, how about if you represent me for a book proposal that I've put together for a book called Your Destiny Switch? And I told them right then and there, I said, Hay House will buy this book. And they're like rolling their eyes back in their head going, yeah, right. You know, like as if they're going to buy the book. I said, no, I know they will because I know all the people in the marketing department. They knew who I was. I had a reputation already. I had told them that the book proposal was going to be coming to them, so they were sort of ready for it. They loved the idea. I'd actually shown them a physical switch as well. They loved the whole idea. So I said, they're going to buy it. And so when my agent presented the book proposal to Hay House, they bought it on the spot. Mm-hmm. And I knew they would because they had told me they would, but my agent said it doesn't work that way in the business, and of course it did, and so they bought the rights to Your Destiny Switch.
Well, you had already done the work for them largely, so. You know,
right,
they
and they knew I would.
To show up with it, yeah.
Right, they knew that here's an author who was willing to do the work to launch this
right.
book, and of course I did, and the first week it was released and made it on the New York Times bestseller list.
And that's a very important part of it, isn't it? I mean, you can't just write this book and then just kind of wait for people to show up and buy it. And I think,
No. You've got to take charge.
That's exactly right. And I have one client now who is just kind of thinking, well, you know, I wrote it. It's a great book. And there it sits. And I'm having a bit of a struggle saying, no, you've got to get me, both of us. Have got to get you out there, and you've got to go. And then I have another client who's saying, when do I go? So it really kind of depends on the personalities, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I remember learning very early in my author career that 5% of an author's job is writing the book. 95% is marketing.
Right.
And
well, that's what
I remember when I first heard that, you know, I was not happy with that because I thought I had the ignorant understanding, and ignorant meaning not knowing, understanding that if you write a great book, the buyers will come. Well, that's not the way it works.
Right. Well, there's so many books out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah,
every minute a new book is born. It's like the babies, you know, every minute there's a new baby born somewhere in the world, and now it's a book.
I know. Well, and that leads us into internet marketing. So you pretty well had a handle on the internet marketing before you really launched into all this, or did that come after?
You know what, it started with my very first book, so when Hay House had published the book, I had a really good handle on it. But when I produced and self-published my first book, I didn't have a handle on it at all. But I needed to learn quickly because I had accumulated a whole lot of debt and had 3,000 copies sitting in my dining room, and I thought, well, I got to do something. And it was either, you know, go get a job, which I had I'm sure that idea didn't even enter into my mind space. But I knew I had to do something to get these books out there into the world. And that's when I learned how to effectively market online, and I launched a 48-hour special offer, buy my book on my website for $21.95, and you would get some bonuses, and I got all kinds of list owners to come on board to help me and support me, and that's really what sort of started the whole process of being able to effectively market online.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get too much further, I know a lot of people are saying, well, I can write a book too, and they may go with an ebook. But self-publishing, of course, is very viable. A lot of people are doing it through Lulu and, you know, through just, you know, different resources online.
Yes.
It's expensive, I find. Can you share a little bit about that? I'm not asking for numbers, but can you give people
sure.
an idea of what it is that they're going to go through if they self-publish because they're trying to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that when your written word is out there, whether it's electronic format or printed form, that's it. You can't get it back. I mean, you can't recall the books that have been put out there. So you get one chance to make a first impression. And people will judge you or make it, you know, sort of a decision on who you are and what you're all about by the products that you're producing and you're releasing into the marketplace. So the costs are really, even if you do electronic book, ebook, there still will be expenses. And to produce it, you know, to do the book. So what I suggest is that if you're not a good writer, that you may want to invest in hiring somebody who can guide you on the writing or can actually do the writing for you. I have a ghostwriter, and the ghostwriter has worked with me now on 5 books. She's phenomenal. She's very talented. She's a great writer. And how it works with a ghostwriter is they actually get paid to write the book. And if you are a self-published author and you're going to be self-publishing the book, you have to pay them out of your own pocket. Now, with me, the way it worked is that with my ghostwriter is because I was paid in advance for my book, then she was paid out of the advance. So nothing came out of my personal pocket to pay my ghostwriter. What happened was a payhouse, you know, said, okay, I'm going to buy the rights to your book for this amount of money. That's how my ghostwriter was paid. The money was sent to my agent. My agent dispersed the funds, she took her 15%, sent my ghostwriter her portion, and sent me the balance. Now, if you can't afford a ghostwriter, then I suggest you hire an editor. At least get a professional editor to edit your work for you. Now, because I see a lot of garbage, you know, that sort of comes across my desk, and where people didn't have the money to invest in an editor. They were a very, very poor writer. One of my clients, I do a lot of work one-on-one with other clients as well. I have one of my clients who wrote a book proposal because she wanted to get it published by a publishing house. So she wrote this book proposal, sent it to me, and it was a brilliant idea, an absolutely brilliant idea. She's very wise. She has incredible gifts. Yet, the proposal was terrible. It was written poorly. Her grammar was a disgrace. Her spelling was terrible. And I said to her, I said, look, you've got to get this into shape. And what I suggest is that you get a really good editor to edit your book proposal, and like a strong copy editor, so that it's at a point where when it gets presented to a publishing house, that number one, you won't be embarrassed. Number two, they won't throw it in the garbage can, you know, within the first few minutes. But she spent, like, I'm not sure what the exact amount is. If my memory serves me correctly, I believe that she spent around $1,500 to have an editor edit the content for her, you know, so that it was in much, much better shape. But now she has it at a point where, you know, it's very, you know, very well written, you know, much, much better. It looks very professional. So her brilliance is now shining through in a very professional way. And, you know, I'm confident she's going to get a publishing deal as a result. So where the investments come in is typically with, you know, the editing part of it. And then if you are going to self-publish and maybe in an ebook format, get the pages designed, you know, in a design layout, or at least do them up nicely if you're doing it yourself so that it looks really, really good. And, of course, you want to get a cover designed. But you can get covers designed for relatively inexpensive amounts of money.
$100,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It really doesn't cost much for that.
Yeah, that's true. There's a company. There's a guy named Vaughn Davidson who runs a company called KillerCovers.com,
mm-hmm.
and
very
I think
familiar.
He charges like $117 or something.
Oh yeah, he does book covers. You know, I mean, I have clients
product.
That have books that also have audios with them, and he'll put
right.
the whole layout, and he does gorgeous work.
He does,
yeah.
And like banners and all kinds of stuff.
Right, right. Well, your latest book is called Viral Explosions, and while you were away, I was telling our audience that I think, I haven't read this one yet, but I think if I had to guess that this one is probably about internet marketing. Am I correct?
Very good.
Right.
You are absolutely right.
Well, when I saw the word viral, I went, aha, it's got to be internet. So tell me about that one. I will be ordering that one.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, Viral Explosions was going to be called The Online Ripple. That was the name that I had originally for this book when the concept had come to me. And I was having dinner with my friend Arielle Ford and her husband Brian in San Diego, and I was explaining to them, you know, the next book that I was writing, which was The Online Ripple. And I was, you know, saying to him and to Brian and Arielle, I said, you know, this book is really a book that explains, you know, what I did to, you know, build my brand and my business online and what others can do, you know, to create these explosions per se where you have either a message or product or a service or a business that you want to spread from person to person to person. And so I'm explaining this and then Brian says, wow, isn't that like a viral explosion? And I was like, oh, I love
yeah.
that. He was like,
and
oh, that's so much better
sense.
Than the... Yeah, it does make perfect sense.
Yeah.
So I grabbed my BlackBerry and I typed in www.viralexplosions.com because it's multiple, right? It's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And to see if it was available, and it was available as a URL, you know, so as a website. And I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to call the book, Viral Explosions. And so the name changed right then and
right.
there.
Right.
And so the book really explains what did I do to build my business because, you know, I found that I read a lot of books, read a lot of books, and love to, you know, develop, you know, my mind and, of course, expand my business and find ways of serving others. And whenever I'm reading a book, I'm really looking for the how. Like, I'm looking for the meaty, tell me how to do it. It's not enough to just say, you know, okay, this is what you need to do. Tell me how you did it or what I need to do it. And so this book is really very meaty. I mean, even if you're a vegetarian, you'll like it.
I'm not. I eat vegetables, but only as roughage.
That's great. But it really gets into what did I do, how did I do it, and how can you do it too? To really, you know, helping people understand what causes things to go viral. People don't, you know, make things viral. It's people that cause things to go viral. But what do you need to have as far as an aspect of that to have someone want to spread the message of what it is you have to offer from person to person to person?
And again, it doesn't happen by accident. There's some hard work that goes on in this. I
do
this kind of work every day.
Yeah, you're right, Denise. You know what? And that's the thing, you know, if people aren't willing to do the work, then they're probably not going to reap the benefits either.
Right.
You know, like sometimes I'll be talking to, you know, a prospective client, or I'll speak at a speaking engagement. I'll talk about success stories, and somebody will say, "I'm not willing to do the work." I say, well, then either you find somebody who's going to do the work for you,
right.
and pay them, or you're not going to reap the benefits, or maybe find another way. I don't know, but maybe it's that whole philosophy of the lazy man's way to riches. But if you're lazy, I don't think this is really the way to go.
No, it's not. Now, talking of viral explosions, where do we go to find that book? I'm pretty sure it can be found on Amazon.
And it
we're
is.
Going to get to the whole Amazon thing, but where on your website can we find it? Is it there under the store tab?
You know what? I don't sell it off my own website because
you don't?
No, I don't. Well, because the publisher is Career Press. This is not a Hay House publication. It's not a self-help book per se. It's a business book. And so the publisher owns the rights to the book, and it's sold through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I do keep inventory in my home when I do speaking engagements, but I don't sell the book off my site. There's a link off my site to Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, but I'm not a storefront for that book or any other of my books for that matter.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So where can I get an autographed copy if I want one?
Oh, well, that
that's a whole
you know what I'm going
to.
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask that today because I actually ordered 700 copies this morning from my publisher to ship to my home. And the reason is because I'm gonna make an offer soon where I'm gonna autograph it and include it. So, if you want an autographed copy, what I suggest is that I'm launching something called the Center for Viral Marketing, and the website is centerforviralmarketing.com. It's not even up on the site yet, but I'm gonna get my web guy to do this in the next few days. And it's a membership site. It's really inexpensive, like $19 a month, where I'm highlighting success stories, online success stories, people that had an idea, create a great success, and I'm presenting it following that format of showing people how. It's sort of like a dissection. You know, what did they do? How did they do it? And what can you do to replicate it? And what I'm going to offer is a copy of Viral Explosions when people sign up. So I'm getting ready for that. So it's funny you should just ask about that right now because I ordered 700 copies to be shipped to my home.
Well, I definitely want one. What I'm doing right now is I'm gathering up my Christmas list. It's time, believe it or not. I mean,
I agree.
It seems like it's a week from now. This year has just gone so incredible.
True enough.
But what it's tremendously fast. I looked at, you know, I was poking around in the garage the other day. I came across my Halloween containers from last year. It never made it to the attic. Well, there's no point now. But it can just sit there. But my point is, for my clients, I always like to find some really wonderful gifts for them, and I don't want to send fruit baskets or cookie baskets. And I look for things like this, for books, you know, from you and books from, say, Larry Winget or, you know, Tony Hsieh's book, you know, Delivering Happiness. I mean, I'm constantly looking for packages of books that I can put together to send to particular clients because I think they would love them. So I will definitely
that's
be
great
for my clients.
Wonderful idea.
I hope none of them are paying attention today. But let's talk about websites. I know, I mean, you have to have websites. I think you do.
Yes, you do.
In your opinion, do you have to have a website to do well online?
Well, it really depends on what you want to do. You know what? There's some people that are kind of shy and they don't want to have a website, but they'd like to make some money online. So there's a way that you can become a broker, and you could be sort of like the middle man or middle woman for others that do have a presence online. So what do I mean by that? There's a gentleman, actually I wrote about him in Viral Explosions, and that's what he does as a business. As a matter of fact, my sister operates as a broker sometimes as well. So what they do is they will go online and they'll look for somebody who has a great product, and they will approach them and say, hey, I see that you have a product and you're selling it. I also can tell from your website that you have affiliates. You have something set up where you can track affiliates. So let me give an example of that. On destinies.com, my website, I sell a product called Magnet for Money. And Magnet for Money is a 6-CD audio product. And every once in a while, it's sold through an affiliate. So affiliate is a list owner, somebody that has a subscriber base. So if that affiliate sends out an email to their database and they promote my product, they make money off it. I mean, that's the way it's usually done with internet marketing. The value is in the list. That's not the only place the value is, but it's definitely very valuable if you've got a, you know, a list of potential prospects or buyers. And so what a broker would do is they'll say, oh, okay, I see Peggy's got this Magnet for Money 6-CD program. She's selling it for $95. And I know she pays her affiliates $38. I wonder if I find her affiliates, you know, make arrangements and take care of everything, and they'll do the marketing for that product, I wonder if she'll pay me a percentage of the sale as well. And that's what a broker would do. So they would, you know, they'll find someone who has a great product, they'll find a list owner, they bring them together, and shopping carts will track that. So one shopping cart is a shopping cart that I use. It's very popular, you know, one of the most well-known shopping cart software that's out there. It has the ability to have two levels, tier one, tier two, to track sales. So if, let's say, Denise, you decide I'm going to be a broker, mm-hmm. and you found a list owner, you know, David Ricklin from Self Growth. David said, yes, Denise, I'll sell Peggy's product. So the way it would be set up in my system and my shopping cart is that David would be actually signed up under you as an affiliate. So every time David gets a sale, you're making money. And, of course, I'm making money, and I ship out the products. So for a broker, they don't have to have a website. They don't have to have shopping cart software. They don't have to have the product. They don't have to do the shipping. They don't have to handle customer service. It becomes a really easy job. Now, the job for them, of course, is to find the affiliates, make the arrangements, you know, make the connection, make sure the copy's sent over, make sure that the email's gone out, and make sure that the person at the other end is fulfilling the orders and paying the commission to the appropriate affiliate. But that's what a broker would do, and that's, you know, one of the cases where you don't necessarily have to have a website.
Okay. Well, but I think, honestly, being a web developer, it's hard for me to even contemplate that. So, yeah, that's kind of a new way of thinking for me. But for the most part, I think people really do need to have a website or a blog.
Yeah.
At the very least, so they can be, you know, writing some articles, writing posts.
Yeah, let people know what they do.
Right. It introduces you to an audience. So, you know, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that. Let's talk about spamming, though. I mean, spamming is, oh, my God. I was mentioning while I was waiting for you to get back on that spamming is not just in your email box anymore. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. It's everywhere. How is this a formula for success, in your opinion?
No, not at all. It's definitely not something that I would, you know, subscribe to or be an advocate of. I think it's something you really need to be respectful of. And I mean, there are FTC guidelines that people need to respect and honor online. I like to do ethical marketing where, you know, I'm sending out offers or creating an offering to people that have requested information from me, or my partners where people have requested information from them, and that's the way it's done. But there's other opportunities where you can buy email lists. I personally would not do that, because those people haven't said, I want information from you, or I'm interested in information from you. I mean, maybe they have from, you know, the person, the broker, I guess, that's selling these email lists, but I don't do those types of things. I know some folks that have done that, you know, where they've actually purchased a subscriber list or an email list, but typically what happens when they do that is that they don't get any results, you know, so they pay for these lists. You know, they go through the process of mailing to them. But there's no real connection there. There's not like a relationship that's been established. And if there isn't a relationship that's established and all of a sudden they're getting an email, you know, pushing some kind of product, usually the conversion rate, meaning the number of people that get the email to the number of people that have purchased, is low, like really, really, really low, if at all. And so I think it's important to do respectful and ethical type of marketing only.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm finding now on Facebook that there's these little applications where people are going and they're posting on my page or a page, and you look at the link and it takes them to a marketing type of a thing. And honestly, I just take a look at those, and if I get enough of them, I just block the person. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done that as well. I've blocked people. Because, you know, you get to a point on Facebook and you don't know, like, you know, get a lot of people that are joining your like page, or they're becoming, you know, connected with you as a friend. And, like, right now I think I'm around 4,600, and the number's changing every single day. And I don't know who they all are. You know, like, I really don't know who they are. So if I start to see stuff that's inappropriate or whatever, then I, you know, remove them.
I do, too, and make room for somebody who is interested and who I would have interest in. So it's very much a tool. But to me, that's spamming, and it's not a good thing. I know a lot of people are jumping in there going, oh, you know, I'm going to, you know, a lot of eyeballs are going to see me. Probably just once, because those eyeballs are going to go away. So,
well, it's like when you're tagged, you know, on Facebook.
Oh,
you know, someone puts a tag in. And like, I remember one time this author had tagged me in some stuff that she was doing, and I'm looking to find out the relativity or the reason. Why has she tagged me? Because it's, you know, it's showing up my names there or whatever. I think she was just trying to tag everybody she could to try and get as much exposure as she could, but it was inappropriate. It was really inappropriate. This morning I got tagged in Lou Bortone, who does video work. Great guy, super, super guy. Really knows his stuff. You love Lou as well?
He's great.
Yeah, he is great. And so this morning I noticed that there was this thread of emails that are going out. Lou had posted this video and I was tagged in it. And so I start to see all the comments coming back. Oh, I love you too, Lou. And I'm thinking, what's that all about? Because my name's there, right? So I go there, and not only is my name there, my picture's in his video because I'm one of his clients. And I'm thinking, oh, that's great. You know, I love what he did. But from a marketing perspective, I see it was very smart what Lou did, because he's going at Follow Friday on Twitter, and he created this little video to share his clients, etc. And I thought, very well done, because it really is getting people's attention.
Yeah, I see that, and I follow those. He'll pop something up, and I'll go, who's in there? Because there's always something great in that.
He's great.
And, you know, he shares, and I think that's what a lot of people don't understand about marketing. It's not just me, me, me all the time. It's what can I do to
God,
help
no.
you? And I think
True.
People are beginning to understand that, and the more
they
understand
that,
the happier and more successful they'll be. You know, give good, you know, if you have a great link from somebody else's website. For instance, if I see something on your website that I think is tremendous, I post it. If I see something on another virtual assistant's website who, for all intents and purposes, are my competition, although I don't believe that I have competition because I'm really good at what I do. And
yes,
my clients are the
absolutely.
Best in the world. So I'm not worried about their clients. I'm only concerned about my clients. But if I see a really great article or a really great piece of advice on somebody who's in either one of my industries, web development or virtual assistants, I share it. That's information
I think
people need to have. And I think people need to do more of that instead of me, 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 hey, you know, look at me.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Well, Peggy, tell people very quickly where they can find you, and then I'll go on to my next 100 questions here.
All right, great. My main website is destinies.com, which is D-E-S as in Sam, T-I-N-I-E-S as in Sam.com. That pretty well links over to other websites that I have and covers who I am and what I do.
Okay, great. What are some of the challenges that entrepreneurs are facing these days with effectively using or not using the Internet for business? This is my observation. I'd love your take on it. I'm seeing that a lot of brick-and-mortar businesses, traditional businesses, for whatever reasons, whether it's economy, whether they just don't want to hire new people, whether, you know, they're just being squeezed with taxes, whatever the reasons are, and there are a lot of reasons, are looking now to the Internet to either find assistance in the virtual assistance industry or to find advertising, because Yellow Page advertising is extraordinarily expensive. Just as kind of an aside there, and I don't know too many people personally even pick up a Yellow Page, but I pick it up to throw it in the trash. I mean, I don't use them. It lands in my driveway. It goes straight in the trash can. I've tried to hand them back, and they won't take them back.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm finding that more and more people are going to the Internet where before they had no clue. I mean, you're seeing businesses that have, you know, their Facebook badge on their window. So people are moving more towards the Internet. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the brick-and-mortar businesses that are moving more to the Internet are doing it because they absolutely have to.
Absolutely.
I mean, it gets to a point that if you're not there, if you're not online, then, you know, I think it hurts your business at some level or another. So you really, really have to be online today. And I agree with you with regard to
just a blog, just something that lets people, my veterinarian, you know, for instance, I built his website. And I said, you need to blog. Well, I don't know what to blog about. Yeah, you do. You're standing here, you're talking to your customers, and you're saying, you know, if you do this with your pet, it'll make them healthier and happier. You're giving advice all day long. Write it down. Share it. And
I think that's a great example.
Well, it's a great example. Doing it, it works.
Yeah. Oh, so true. Because people love their pets, right?
Yes.
Well, they're quite insane about
my
them.
Team member's cats. I have cats everywhere. They're looking at me right now.
I got two doggies.
Yeah, we all have cats.
My office mates as well. And actually, when I'm teaching my teleseminars, I'll put a picture of my dogs on the first slide because I want people to know that they may be piping up at some point as well to share some of their their own opinion. Because they'll start barking. You know, I'm in my home. It's like if someone comes to the door, they'll start barking.
Right.
And of course, like a radio show right now, I actually have a note on my front door that says, please do not ring the doorbell. And because as soon as the doorbell's rung, they're starting to, you know, bark up a little storm. But back to the veterinarian, I think this is a really good example. You suggested to him to blog or her. Is it a him or a her?
It's a him.
It's a him. Yeah. You know what? You know, veterinarians are usually really, really busy people. And so they may be thinking, number one, I don't have no idea what to blog, although you've got all kinds of ideas for them. Or two, I'm too busy. I really don't have time for this. So what I suggest is get someone to do it for you. And
that's what I did. I said, your receptionist, who has been here for years, in fact, she was there before he bought that practice. I said, she knows everything about this area. She knows everything about your clients. She knows as much as you do about nutrition and medication. I said, let her do it. He said, okay. That was the end of that. So it worked out very, very well for them.
Well, I have a blog and post to it regularly, usually twice a week, but I don't write it. It's my stuff, my ideas, you know, my examples. But I hired a woman named Christine Messier, and she runs a business called YourOwnVoice.com, or Your Own Voice, Inc., I think is the name of her business. And Arielle Ford, who's a good friend of mine, told me about her. And Arielle and I were chatting one day, and I said, you know, I just don't have time to write for my blog. And she said, well, then hire someone to do it. I hired a ghostwriter, and I thought, what a brilliant idea. And Arielle was using this woman, and she said, you know, she's great. It makes it sound like it's your own voice. It is your own ideas and your own stories, your own examples. You know, she'll take from your course materials, from your interviews, you know, from whatever, and she will blog accordingly. And I've been using Christine now for 7 months, and she's phenomenal. And so not only does she do the blog, but she does tweets for me, and she does Facebook stuff. I'm just insanely busy, or I should say sanely busy. I've got to use the word sanely instead of insane.
It's all good. I think it all falls into the same category these days.
Yeah, I guess it does. So, you know, if I agree with you. I think you need to build your presence and keep your presence and keep it fresh, and it really is about giving value and sharing information. And you know what? Even if it's not perfect, that's okay. Even if you tell somebody. Like I remember posting up a comment on Facebook, you know, I bought all this digital high-definition video equipment and bought the stuff for a green screen room and the whole shebang, and I was trying to shoot my first video, and I didn't turn my mic on. I'm like, oh, it has an on-off switch. So I created a little video, and told folks about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is great. This is this internet marketing girl who doesn't know how to turn on the on-off switch on her microphone. Okay.
Well, you know, things have changed, though, because I've been on the Internet, since it was created for me. Because I'm convinced that the Internet was mine. It was a Christmas gift, and I'm just sharing it with the rest of y'all.
Definitely.
I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, it's just a magic thing, and I love the Internet. But what I have noticed has changed over the years is that, you know, different people would set themselves up as really being the voice. You know, they were the voice of internet marketing or the voice of Google or whatever their particular niche was. And we didn't really perceive them or view them as human or having human frailties. And then with the onset, I mean, and I can name some names, but I won't, you know, because some of them I still follow around. Some of them, not so much. They didn't kind of catch on or, you know, go with where the internet was going, I don't think. But I know with the onset of, you know, Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn and social media marketing, where you have to get that know, like, and trust factor out there, people are now a lot more willing to let their guard down a little bit and show the human side like you did and, you know, show their dogs and show their cats. If you look at my Facebook, you see my cats. Now, you're not going to see me in a bathing suit, but you do see my cats. There is a line that you don't cross. But I think you're
unless
right.
you have a like Victoria's Secrets kind of body that you want to share with the world.
No. Even yes. But you know, I mean, I think these days we do have to say, "Oh, look what I did," and let people enjoy it with you. Right. I think that's really where we are right now with the internet. You know, you make a mistake, you go, oh boy. And then people enjoy it. They know that you're human. They know that you're just as human as they are. And you're not setting yourself up to kind of lord it over them. At least that's
so
what
true.
I think on it. Mm-hmm. So
I
online marketing and offline marketing, are they similar these days?
They are similar. You know, there's some definite things about online marketing and offline marketing that are similar. You know, understanding human behavior, what makes somebody make a buying decision. If you want somebody to do something, you should tell them, like, you know, give them a call to action if that's what you're looking for. It's like if you walk in a mall and somebody's having a store, having a sale, obviously they're wanting to do business, right? Like, come on in. And today you can buy one pair of jeans, you get a second one free. So you got to buy today. So they're telling people, come on in. We'll have this sale. They're sending out flyers saying, come on in. Like, my husband is retired and he reads the newspaper. So he likes to know what's going on in the world, and he's a sports fanatic and, you know, a big part of what he, you know, keeps up to date on. But what comes in the newspapers are those sale flyers.
Oh, I know.
You know, to see what's, you know, what's on sale at the sporting goods store, the grocery store, you know, at the mall. And so that's a form of marketing. It's saying, hey, we got some great deals. Come on in our store. Now you're likely going to go in there, buy something, and you may buy something else. And mm-hmm. of course, stores do this well, where you're at the checkout counter and then they've got some other kind of offer. Or at the end of the aisles, they have the end of aisle offers. Same thing with the internet, right? And you're a web developer, so you gotta, you know, let people know I'm doing a special offer, I've got this available, that available, and then when people are checking out, hey, if you like this, you might also like this. People are in a buying frame of mind, so they may, you know, decide, you know what, I'm already here, I'm gonna be buying this, I think I'll take that too. And now where they're different, of course, sorry, were you gonna say something?
I was going to say Amazon does that superbly. I cannot
they do.
Go to Amazon to buy one book and come away without spending $200.
Of course.
He asked me, did I order this little thing for the barbecue on Amazon? I said, no. He said, why? I said, because I'm afraid. I knew that I would get there and just go through my allowance. So I just haven't gone on Amazon yet.
Or this super savings, you know, like buy, you know, spend another $3.07. Yeah, and free shipping.
Right. And what what they do so brilliantly is like, well, people who bought this book also bought this book. Well, I have to too.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean,
and same with GoDaddy if you're registering a domain name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
GoDaddy, they're brilliant too.
Annoying.
It is a little annoying.
It is. But I will get on the phone with my clients and say, tell them no, 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 no. Okay, now say it. Because they'll call me and say, I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, it's just brilliant marketing.
It is. It is. And if you just look at it and study it and, sure, it might be annoying as you're checking out, but if you just look at what they're doing and maybe think, I could incorporate that,
mm-hmm.
you'll increase your business.
That's exactly right. That upsell is very, very important if you have something that makes sense to the customer when they get to the checkout process.
Yes, true enough.
Tell me, you know, some of the critical steps that you consider somebody should take to be successful online.
Well, I think it's important to set some intentions. You know, what is it you want to create? What is it you want to do? And then have a revenue model as well around a business. Like a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to build this presence, I'm going to offer this and give away that. And they don't realize, number one, how much time that takes,
mm-hmm.
and energy and sometimes money. And they haven't created any kind of a revenue model. Like, how are you going to make money from this? And then they get exhausted really quickly because they've blown through all their own resources, money, and they've spent a lot of time, and now they're not making any money, and then they're frustrated. You know, I remember this time this woman wanted to create a website for women, and it's like, okay, why? And, you know, like, do some research, too, and how are you going to differentiate yourself?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to stand out? How are you going to build your business? How are you going to make money from this? And just a little bit of planning and preparation in advance before you spend the dollars and the time.
Well, and here's something, and, you know, you've already covered it to some degree, but you can't do it all on your own. If you don't feel like writing, you need to hire an expert. I mean, if you don't want to build, you know, learn WordPress, and goodness knows, if you're going to build a website these days, it needs to be on the WordPress platform, especially if you want it to go viral. If you're blogging, you know, it has all these magical plugins and widgets. It's just a fabulous way to, you know, to build a website. Now, do you want to take, you know, the time and the money and the energy to try to build it yourself, or do you want to hire a professional? So I think a lot of people do say, oh, well, it's free. You know, the Internet's almost free. I can just do it on my own.
Almost free.
Probably well, you have to pay for your DSL. You know, but, you know, seriously, I get a lot of people saying, well, you know, I can just do this on my own. I know I can. I know I can. And then 6 months later, they are exhausted and looking for a job.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
How do you explain to people that they really do need to say, you know, I need to get out of that mindset of I can do it all myself, and I don't really have to spend any money. Everything, there are free resources on the Internet. Absolutely, take advantage of them. There are free e-books. There are free, you know, products, and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of free 30-day trials. Absolutely take advantage of that. But where do you tell people to get to the mindset that they're going to have to actually spend some money and bring professionals on board? How do you get them there?
Well, I think you need to understand what your own talents are as well. You know, like you're a web developer and you've got that talent and the skill. So, you know, sort of blend them together to you know, create it as a strength. Whereas I don't really have talent for web development. I mean, you could put me in a room and say, Peggy, you got to develop a website. And, you know, I mean, thank God there's some templates out there that I could just pull from. But design work, not my strength. So I'm probably going to waste a ton of time, you know, even trying to attempt to do something that's probably going to come out and look pretty poor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to understand inherently what are our own talents, and either, you know, just decide we're going to, you know, either create something from templates or whatever, and maybe you're going to invest more time and energy. But if you're not a great writer, are you ever going to be a great writer because you've spent so much time on studying and studying and studying becoming a great writer? Probably not. You know, I think at that point you need to really invest in an editor and you know, maybe do a little more work to find one that's more cost-effective for you if budget is one of your challenges. But just really become familiar with what your strengths are and what they're not. And if you don't have the strengths, then find the people that can help you and that can guide you. And copywriting, this is another thing I noticed. You know, some people don't want to spend the money on a copywriter or learn how to do copywriting, and then they attempt to do it themselves, and they're just no good at it. You know, they really, really don't have talent. They don't want to invest the time, let's say, to really learn it. But they're, even if they did, they probably would, you know, really, really struggle. It's at that point that you might want to say, you know what, I need help with that. Or like the business you're in, Denise, you know, a virtual assistant, like this is where, like I love being a solopreneur, I love working on my own, but I hire people for stuff all the time, you know, video editing or web design or, you know, copywriting.
I have people that work with me at any given day. I mean, I can I can do most of it. Do I want to? No. Do I have time?
Right.
Absolutely not.
So you've got your team and they're virtual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a tremendously talented team. Between the two companies, we have 23 people. 23 includes me. But, I mean, we're working on everything. And I don't have
That's
to do
fantastic.
It
That's fantastic.
It's the only way to go. I mean, it's the only way I could build my business and, you know, take on more and more clients and really learn. I learn something new every single day. And I love it. I mean, I absolutely love the fact that I learn from my team, they learn from me, we learn from our clients. I mean, it's just a learning environment. It's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, it really
I agree.
Is. Now, who do you use for copywriting? Because I know Michelle PW is very good. Who do you recommend for copywriting? And long sales copy pages, too. That's a whole different animal, a long sales page.
I use a guy named Al Henderson, and he has a website called Caribou Direct Marketing. And you can just search Al. It's Caribou Direct Marketing. That's his website. He's a super nice guy. Pardon?
Is he in Alaska?
No.
Caribou, that sounds like he might be in Alaska.
No, he's in a place called Quesnel, British Columbia. He is a Canadian. He was actually recommended. One of my students found him. And recommended him, I decided to give him a try a couple of years ago, and he's phenomenal. I get Al to do all my copywriting. I know how to do copy. I teach people how to do copy, but I'd rather have Al do mine. So I hire him. As a matter of fact, I just got an email from him. I'm going to see him next weekend in San Diego. I'm speaking at a conference, and he's going to be there. But he's great, and he's reasonable, very reasonable.
Well, that's good to know, because people are always asking for referrals. Yeah, and to me, I don't like to refer people I haven't worked with, and I like to kind of talk with them first.
Yeah.
And get a sense of what it is that they do, but I'm always looking for resources for my clients and for people who are not my clients. You know, they maybe don't want to work with us or can't directly work with us because they can't afford it, but we'll sure help them out any way we can. So this will go on my list of things to look at. And people need to go to the Center for Viral Marketing. I will be going over there today and taking a look around.
Great. So I actually haven't launched it yet, but the site is there.
You haven't?
No.
I see it's a Wishlist member. We work in that all the time. It's a tremendous plug-in for a membership site. So is it ready to go? If I were to sign up today, is it ready to – can I get in there?
You know what? I don't even know if you can sign up yet. Let me just see if the Join You links are – I'll be posting the first.
They went to the shopping cart.
Yeah, it did. You're right. So yes. So we're just getting the member stuff ready. Now it'll be ready before the end of the month.
Okay. Well, will you keep me posted? You have my email address. I'd love to, you know, keep track of this.
Absolutely.
All right. And I do need to find out it quickly, you know, in a week or so, because I will be doing my Christmas list about kidding.
Perfect.
Some autograph books, so I'll email you about that. I would love to have you come back another time. We just chatted. We just covered a little bit of all the questions I had. And if you've got time to come back another time, I would love to extend that invitation.
That would be great, Denise. I'd love that as well.
Well, thank you so much. Well, listen, normally we take questions from callers in the chat room, but we ran out of time. And maybe next time we'll get somebody on the line to chat with you. But thank you, Peggy, so much for being with me here today. And I have enjoyed your company. Thank you. I've enjoyed your company and your wisdom, and I know our audience has enjoyed it just as much as I have. And I look forward to having you back again. So thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Peggy McCall wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thanks, Peggy.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.